necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Sinking putts like Rory McIlroy on a Sunday in North Carolina. This is the Clubhouse on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. I'm Rob Adams. That was cold, wasn't it?
That was cold.
You know, Rob, I love you dearly. And you've already robbed me from the Clubhouse report because that mentioned that sad, sad story.
And on that note, good night, everyone.
No. Good night, everyone. Please, drive home safely.
No, terrible story. And look, I give we'll come back to that, obviously, but I give him credit for stepping away for a couple of weeks. That was brutal. That actually was brutal. So
it's kind of like when we do the clubhouse, we step away for a couple of weeks,
yeah,
and then we come back.
But you've got us for 2 weeks in a row tonight.
Unless we do badly.
Anyway, that's Mark Jeffers alongside of me. He is only my partner of 1.5 billion years.
I know. We're getting younger every day.
I know you are. Who's and the dude next to you? Yeah, we could use some snow right around now. We could use some
and
jingle bells.
And next to me is the coolest dude I know, Dave Taromeo.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
How are you?
Are you surviving the heat?
Yeah, the heat doesn't bother me. I don't like it. Does it bother you? Well, I shouldn't say that. I have central air, so I guess.
Yeah, it does bother me then. Okay. I have a few words for you, and
They're not Merry Christmas?
No, they're not Merry Christmas.
Right. If I'm watching Sarah mow the lawn,
yeah.
Sometimes it does get me a little warm.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just sitting there with your iced tea, with your legs up.
I feel bad, so there's a sympathy factor, nice. And then, of course, there's the heat.
Nice.
But what a show we have tonight.
The producers have hit a different level on this edition.
Well, you know what? Did you know that Dave Taromeo has an agent?
I learned that today.
So this show
not who I thought it was either.
This show is basically going to be the Dave Taromeo show. In fact, if you look at the rundown, which Bob Small always enjoys having printed, at 7:05, we're going to have more time for Dave.
Well, I'm always ready to go, dude. So bring it on.
There you go.
But besides that...
Yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about the passing of Willie Mays on a serious note.
Yes. Yep.
And a big, big surprise for all of you guys is Mr. Rob LeBritz, who is up in Endicott, New York, near Oneonta, preparing for the Tour Champions Dick's Open, which is going to be starting on Friday.
That's right.
He's at the Pro-Am today. He's going to call us after that and give us some updates, so looking forward to that as well. And of course, the Clubhouse report, which we all know. And next week, we need to talk a little bit about next week.
Yes, we do.
We're going to be here at the Hub,
right here,
MTK Hotel, or the Hotel MTK. Which you like better?
I think it's Hotel MTK.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I like to call it the MTK Hotel sometimes. Just to, because Dan was here earlier, and I wanted to make sure that he was aware of that.
I am going
to
stay here one night after a show. I am so
I think we should do that. We should build that in, yeah.
That idea of walking, just breaking down, going up to a room, and just falling down.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can say, but Rob, you have a 30-minute drive back to Greenwich, or when I lived in Mayapack, 30 minutes there. Who cares? No, big deal. 30-second walk to a hotel room. Bring it on.
And apparently they're wonderful rooms.
Wonderful rooms.
Take a nice swim first,
No, it's a good place.
Have a patio for next week as well. So we could have a big, huge crowd. It's going to be a silent auction. It's all going to be for the Hudson Valley Alzheimer's Association.
Yes.
We'll have a silent auction, a 50-50 raffle, drink specials, local sports guests, trivia contests, fun for all, and a special from 8 to 9. We're going to have Steve Moyle and Michael Weinstein from the Blues Corruption rocking the Hub for an hour. So we're all going to be good, good stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show next week. Very good show.
Really, really good show.
Really, really big shoe. We'll have the Beatles on as well.
Hey, nice.
We always go strong, for our show, our last show of the season. And, always donating. And so be good stuff.
Cool.
Be very good.
And I like when Teddy comes over to check on us. He's checking on the audio. That was very nice of him. Now it's going to be a great show. We're looking forward to helping
out. I thought he was kicking us out for a second.
I was a little concerned.
Well, he was looking at you, Dave, directly.
He was concerned. His music was disturbing
us. I have been kicked out of many places before. So you out.
And I want to thank this group over here, Wayne Fasinga. Can you hear me out there?
No, he's having a good...
But you know what? We ran into him.
We've got such a big crowd, nobody can hear us
right now. That's true. But I want to thank him because, you know, his whole group came, and we talked about this, Dave and I did.
Yeah.
And have him a shout-out.
Yeah.
A few years ago, Trees hit our house, and he came, and his roofing company came and really helped us out in Bedford Hills. So thank you very much, and I'll send this link.
There you go.
All right.
That's the way to do it.
So, David, what's new and exciting?
Oh, lots of stuff. It's an interesting time. In Manhattanville University, we're gearing up for our fall semester. We're trying to do some recruitment. We're trying to do some different things there. We have a lot of different things going on, like with Terry Hanratty's podcast, which Rob is involved with, and we have some other things on the media side, some exciting news hopefully coming up in the fall. It's a very interesting time. So, although, you know, you mentioned Willie Mays, it's been kind of a back-to-back-to-back with these. I mean, Jerry West, Larry Allen, Maravich's son, John Maravich's son, Bill Walton, and Willie.
Now
so
Willie,
it's almost like what a week we're getting this news, right?
Yeah, it's been a lot. A lot for sure. And, you know, Willie Mays, that news hit 7:38 or so last night. And that one hit. That one struck a little differently.
That's a tough one, yeah.
It is. 93, Wonderful Life.
Yeah, the Say Hey Kid.
Say Hey Kid.
You know why they call him the Say Hey Kid?
Go ahead.
Go.
Well, because he couldn't remember people's names. So it would be like, you know, instead of, hey, say hey. He would yell out to people, say hey.
I like that.
Instead of, you know, Bob Small, he'd be say hey, you know. The volume is good.
And, you know, there was a song called the Say Hey song, the Willie Mays song.
Yeah.
Back in the 50s,
He just seemed like a real kind of personable guy who, I mean, out there playing stickball with the kids. He went out every day and was playing stickball in the streets with the kids, and then he served his country.
He certainly did. So. Missed all of 1953. Due to military service, missed part of 52, only played 34 games.
Yep.
Won Rookie of the Year in 1951 in the National League, and then comes back in 54. Giants win the World Series, and he wins the MVP in the National League.
And by the way, because we're MASH fans, and we remember the episode, you know, the War for All Seasons.
Yep.
And the Bobby Thompson shot around the world, which they actually show in that MASH episode. He was on deck.
He was on deck.
Yeah.
Behind Bobby Thompson. In that game.
A 24-time All-Star.
The Giants win the pennant.
Yeah, I mean, he was a true legend.
As is
Dave, a true legend.
Now, keep in mind about the 24-time All-Star, which is true and obviously a huge achievement, but from 1959 to 1962, there are two All-Star games. So he made each All-Star team that year. So he makes two right there a year. Think about that. Eight All-Star teams right there in that four-year stretch.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, do you remember, as a Met fan?
Yes.
And by the way, when we get to the clubhouse report, we could probably talk about it sooner than later, but he only finished his career as a Met. I know.
You're not going to like my answer on this one. I hate to say this. I mean, Willie Mays and Yogi Berra, two legends, cost the Mets that World Series against Oakland, in my opinion. I mean, Willie shouldn't have been in the game when he was, you know, because he was older. They had a young center fielder. He misplayed a ball. I don't know if you remember.
I do.
And, you know, they went seven games with Oakland. And Yogi not starting Thomas Seaver in game
seven.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God.
I'm going to say the name and watch Dave crumble. George Stone.
Oh, please.
He just melted. He melted like the Wizard of Oz.
It's Dave. It's Howie Rose. It's all these people. You say George Stone, just the face turns.
Yes. Well, there it is. But you know what? The Mets weren't a great team that year. We went on a great run. Over the Reds. Come on. If they play Reds, you know, that Red Machine, which went on the next year, obviously.
And to take the A's to seven games in the middle of a three-year, you know, a three-peat.
Yeah,
that's pretty remarkable, but
you gotta go Seaver there.
At that point, you want to be greedy and win the thing.
You got him.
Yeah,
if you're there, you got to take him. Yeah. So
you
anyway, but I think his Mets career obviously was just a swan song. We know that. Everybody knows that.
It was. Right? How do you feel about his number being retired by the Mets? I get hung up on things. I admit.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. If it was a promise made by the owner when she brought it,
Mrs. Pace.
Apparently that. So,
yes, it was.
So if that was the case, then okay, they had to honor that, right? If she said, "Look, we're going to retire your number," maybe she didn't understand what that meant. at the time, because at that time they probably didn't have any numbers retired, if you think about it.
Maybe Gil Casey Hodges Stengel? At that point.
Maybe Casey. No,
yeah, Casey, you know, and Casey. Hodges.
Maybe those two. Yeah, but not obviously not Seaver.
Because so. For those wondering, 2 years with the Mets, he hits .238 with 14 home runs.
Yeah.
Those aren't exactly retiring numbers, you know?
He was more of a – he came on and was came on because he was going to be the hitting coach,
right.
Which he was after he retired. Listen, he's a legend. So this is where I get caught up with guys staying on too long in their careers. I mean, they're, you know, it's like they're legendary players, but you have to – at some point you have to say, okay, I have to stop. Because when you continue to play, it diminishes your impression on people over the years. Like my thing with the World Series. I mean, Willie Mays is an all-time great, there's no doubt.
But he's not a good postseason player.
No.
Okay.
And the postseason award is named after him.
Yeah.
His postseason record is, you know, not here to break down Willie Mays and rip him, but in five World Series, he hit .230.
Yeah. That's not great. And by the way, that Giant team, and I saw that Giant team in person, Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Bobby Bonds. I saw them play the Mets at Shea. I saw Willie McCovey hit a ball that I think is still traveling somewhere over Flushing.
Oh,
I mean,
Stretch could hit
him. Oh, my God. That guy was – he was – what a stud.
62 World Series against the Yankees. He goes 7 for 28, .250 with two doubles, no home runs, one run batted in.
Willie. Mays.
Mays, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Just did not have a great – and only one World Series home run, by the way. One postseason home run, excuse me.
Right, but you can't just – base his career on
postseason. No, not
and,
at all.
And I think we have to go over the whole length of work.
No. I mean,
look at the San Francisco Giants built a statue.
Two-time MVP.
I mean, right.
Four home run titles. 55. He hits 51 home runs, hits .319, 127 runs batted in with a 1.059 OPS.
And
that's a pretty incredible year.
Let's not talk about the catch.
The catch was unbelievable.
And he'll tell you it wasn't the best catch he made.
Okay, it may not have been. But also remember, he went out to Candlestick Park. And I've seen a game in that stadium. And that wind blows in all the time.
Oh, it's terrible.
And it rains there almost every other day.
So he had to learn. He basically had to learn how to hit the right center or else drive it through that wind, because that wind just constantly blew in.
At
Candlestick.
From absolutely left field. Brutal.
I mean, just a crappy – I mean, that was one crappy ballpark, Candlestick Park. I don't know if you guys ever – I was there once, and it was – I think it was July, and it was freezing.
Oh, Bobby Mercer freezing. Called it just an absolute nightmare. He couldn't stand it.
As Mark Twain said, the coldest summer, winter I ever had was the summer in San Francisco. Right?
I got to walk around Oracle Park. I haven't been in it, but I've walked outside of it. It's beautiful. That's a fantastic stadium.
See, there's a difference because Yankee Stadium.
I've heard of it.
It's always come back to the Yankees, right?
Old
yes,
one.
It does.
Hold on, hold on. But old one, I think Rob and I both like.
The old Yankee Stadium.
The old Yankee Stadium versus the new one.
Oh, I agree.
Well,
yeah.
there's, of course, the original built in 23. That's always going to be, you know, a moment of silence, pour one out. Then the remodeled one from 76 on to 2008, which I'm very fond of because of the number of games I saw there. The new one is fine. It's fine. I like it. It's not the old
it's
one.
It's fine. It's not Yankee Stadium.
It's not Yankee Stadium.
It's not the original. No. I got you.
It's not.
Well, listen, as bad as Shea was, I miss Shea Stadium. And became
a lot of Mets fans say that.
I really
you
do.
Should.
City Field, though, it's
City Field's a great ballpark.
It's
it really
sort of
is.
fan-friendly.
It's a great experience. It's a great place to watch a game. It's a great game to walk around. A lot of food stuff. Obviously, it's a whole different environment nowadays when you go to a game, right?
Before we take a break, listen to Willie Mays' 1965 season. Wins the MVP. Let's see. 52 home runs, 112 RBIs, .317 batting average, an OPS of 1.043, which is on-base plus slugging if you don't know. That's a ridiculous year.
Yeah. I don't remember. I was barely born yet. Mark, you might remember because you were like, what?
I'm 100. Remember, I'm 100 years old, so that's okay.
Before we take a break.
Yes.
Greatest ever in your mind?
Willie Mays? I have a problem with greatest ever things.
I know.
Have to be honest with you.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
I mean, because you got to go back. When you talk about Ty Cobb, I mean, people, you know, like that, or people, I just.
I've laid off this debate until now. It's Ruth for me.
If you had to
hear somebody in the crowd yelling Pete Rose.
Pete Rose. But no, yeah, I'd have to say no. I mean,
he's up there. He's top five.
He's definitely
easily.
Up there, but
he's top
like
three.
You said, I mean, Babe Ruth. I mean,
Ruth, Mays.
I like
Aaron.
This guy named Mickey Mantle.
People don't understand him.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Mickey
no,
Mantle.
Right.
But Ruth was a pitcher, and he was a great pitcher.
Yes, he was. And so, Ruth, by the way, had more speed than people know.
Right. They look at him as the fat guy running the bases in the old
black
and white.
Because that's what you see.
Yeah, no, he was a great guy.
You don't have to sprint around the bases when you hit home runs.
That's true.
Mantle at his best. I'll take Mantle at his best
that's
over
what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, I think that's fair. I do.
That's
at
what
his
I'm
healthiest
looking at.
And his best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
When he was sober. I mean, no, I didn't
say that. Well, hey, no, that's fair.
I'll erase that.
That's, yeah. Shall I do this before we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sit back, friends. I have a tale for you.
Uh-oh.
Splash in Bedford Hills is proud to be entering its 30th year of serving the Bedford Hills community. We offer a complete range of services for the maintenance of your car, including full-service hand washing. Washing your car using thick foaming soap and lamb's wool mitts. Dave loves that part.
I love that part.
We vacuum the interior, wipe down the dash and door jams, all in less than 15 minutes with no appointment needed. Or opt for the super fast exterior express wash. You're in and out in no time. Plus, you can use our free self-service vacuums when you get a wash. And there's our full service oil change, which includes a 21-point inspection and... It's in capital letters.
There's more.
But wait, there's more. And a free car wash. We have all sorts of detailing services available while you wait all the way to our 5-star complete detail. What could be more convenient? There's a question mark missing there. Your car deserves a better car wash and oil change. Splash, located at 570 North Bedford Road in Bedford Hills. At the end of the copy, we always say splash. And we take a break on the clubhouse at 719 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Big Tobacco's customers are dying. But instead of pulling their products off shelves, they're using menthol flavors to recruit a new generation of smokers. Menthol makes products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier for us to start and harder for us to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for tobacco companies to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
For 2 hours, every Thursday night at 6, listen in and even converse with the man in the know regarding all matters Greenwich. Listen to Sam Romeo's show, Greenwich Matters. Brought to you by Parsonage, where their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way. And by Finocchio Brothers, we knows our business. From the beach to the backcountry, education, recreation, or politics, Greenwich Matters every Thursday night at 6 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Welcome back to Mount Kisco. This is the Clubhouse, 1490 WGCH. We are inside the hub at Hotel MTK. We got Teddy behind the bar taking care of everyone. We got Max hanging out wanting to be a part of this insanity.
This world.
And he's smiling over there.
Because I was once nice him. I get it. You know?
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah.
We didn't have the high school broadcasting stuff. I would have been all over that. At delightful Mayapack High School.
Well, you know, working with a lot of people who want to work in the sports business industry, as you know, I mean, you tell them this is how you start.
You got to grind.
You network. You connect. You go out. So you think out of the box. You get out of your comfort zone, right? It may not be comfortable to walk up to people who you don't know and say hi.
It's not my strong suit. Yeah.
No,
I'll admit
it. Listen, you know, Mark is still working on it. And he's, you know,
it's true.
All right, where are we going, Mark?
Where are we going, Mark?
All right, so I'm thinking, you know, so I toss out these ideas in the pre-production meeting.
There we go.
And they all laugh at me and say, no, we're not doing any of that.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works.
Which is how it works.
That's true.
So I'm going to now do a surprise, and we're going to bring in Bob Small for this as well.
Oh.
Whoa.
So just because you guys were not, you weren't going with the stuff I wrote down, so I'm going wild.
Okay,
here we go.
Here we go.
Wild man.
I can't imagine.
It's your holiday dinner.
Uh-oh.
Which holiday?
Your Christmas Juneteenth. Holiday. Juneteenth. Any holiday you want. You get two invites. Oh, and you know, it's just a dinner.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's not even a holiday dinner.
It's just a dinner. You hear, you're here at the Hub eating the wonderful food that they have here. Right?
Okay.
Okay. So, you get to invite two people.
All right.
No, boy.
One is deceased.
Oh.
A sports superstar. And one is living.
Oh, my.
Okay, James Clark. Jimmy Clark.
And give me the background of that person, of course.
He was the best Formula One driver back in the 60s.
And, who knew?
All right. And then Lewis Hamilton, who's probably the best one right now.
The best.
Formula One driver.
What about the guy that always wins? You don't have dinner with him?
I don't particularly like him, okay. To be honest with you.
No, as long as...
There we go.
Now, since we're getting some inside information
here. Do you want brutal honesty or do you want brutal honesty?
Verstappen doesn't do your... Verstappen's not your cup of tea.
No, he'd have to work on it to get me to like him.
Wow, so... So he's giving up probably the greatest F1 ever driver to have with Hamilton. Although, can Hamilton bring a date?
As far as I'm concerned,
apparently he's dating.
Could be a 24-year-old cheerleader like Bill Belichick.
And we go there.
That was quick.
Yeah. Well.
All right. So the parameters are
you're having a dinner.
Yes.
And you can invite one sports star who has passed away.
Got it.
And one who's currently living.
Wow.
No one said this was easy.
See, remember, I've had dinner with Terry Hanratty, so I can't say him.
See, that would have been mine as well, yeah. But, you know.
But he's alive.
He's been at banquets with me now, so, I can't say him.
All right.
Boy, as quick as I am to say, you know what? I'm going to go with my first instinct, which was Lou Gehrig, is my deceased.
That's a good one.
All right. I like that.
Yep. Lou Gehrig would be my deceased, my living. Oh, boy, who fascinates me that much that I want to sit and talk with
and
them?
Lewis Hamilton's already taken, so you can't go with him.
You know who? This is just a because we only have till 8 o'clock, and we've got Rob LeBritz coming up. I can't do this all night. I'm going Paul O'Neill because he's funny. He's just a good dude. I think I would enjoy that. And he knows history. I think those would be my guys.
I like that a lot.
All right, David, you're up to bat.
Boy, you know, a lot of names just went through my head. I'd have to go Namath.
Clubhouse number one guest.
Somebody's got to get him.
You know, and can we do the show around? Can we do the show around your dinner?
Joe Willie, obviously. And we had him on for about 30 seconds. But I mean,
was it that long?
He said, "I can't connect." I think that was a quote.
And you know, deceased. I would say, you know, I was thinking like Joe. I mean, maybe somebody from the way back, like the Black Sox or something. But
Shoeless Joe.
Shoeless Joe, just to find out like his side of the story. But I would have to go with my other favorite player, which was Jerry Grody, recently passed away. Catcher of the New York Mets, caught Seaver, and was the reason why, you know, I became a catcher and loved the way he caught the game. So I would go with those two. My
That's
two
pretty good.
Childhood, nice. You know, Grody and Namath.
I like that.
I would go along. Actually, Rob and I could double date on our deceased one.
Oh, go ahead.
I would like to go with Babe Ruth.
I think Babe would be a lot of laughs,
and
boy, a lot of beer.
And if we did Babe Ruth, Eli Manning would be my other.
That's a good,
I'm thinking about the lunch or the dinner.
Good.
Now, see, I would have Babe Ruth and Eli Manning and me.
Because I admit, I would like to be adopted as a Manning. They are just hysterically great.
He's becoming much more fun in his old age.
They're a fun family.
No, Peyton's always been a little more fun than Eli. But I think
Eli's funny,
gaining. No, he is gaining, so I'm having dinner with him.
Right. I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Well, you're a Giant fan, so that makes sense.
And, I mean, you know, just continue to thank Eli on behalf of all of us because those are two less rings we have to listen to Tom Brady bogey
about.
Thank
God Almighty.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God Almighty.
He couldn't cheat his way through those two.
Yes, please.
All right, staying off topic again. So what do you think about Brady and becoming a Fox Sports number one?
It is a huge risk for Fox. That much money, but it's a marketing ploy. They see it as, you know, business. They see it as getting attention. I am willing to bet that Brady is doing his homework. Can he bring that personality with Kevin Burkhart into the Fox booth is my question. And they're breaking up a really good team.
Oh, I know. Greg Olsen he won the Emmy. He won the Emmy.
Greg Olsen was excellent.
That was so
unfair. Greg Olsen's gotten screwed.
He has gotten screwed. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
David, we know you don't necessarily love Mr. Brady, but you think as an announcer, how will he do?
I think he's going to be good. I think he'll be all right. Because one thing we know about Tom Brady, and I do respect the man, he works hard. He is diligent. I don't think he's going to have, you know, what it. But it. Thank you.
Charisma of the Tony Romo. Because Romo was.
Well, I like Romo.
I didn't like Romo in the beginning because he replaced Phil Simms, and I was ticked off.
I think Romo's got. Like, Romo at first was okay. I mean, Romo's gotten too much, like, okay, I did my. You know, I sat with this guy, so I'm going to tell you what. He's been too over the top with here's what's coming. Here's this. I mean, it's like, okay.
Well, he backed off of that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, good. But he should have. And I think they told him that, right?
Yeah.
I think Brady would be okay. Just as long as he doesn't talk about the friggin' Patriots, I'm okay. I'm all right with that.
Well, you know. History is littered with guys who've tried broadcasting, and you thought they were going to be good. And they look at Joe Montana was terrible.
He was
a lot of guys. Were. Name of them was terrible. Yeah,
Tiki Barber in his first go around was awful. Now he's doing Daily Sports Drive in New York. Jerome Bettis, I thought that was a can't miss, and he was not good.
Yeah.
Now he's you know, he does TV in Pittsburgh, which is fine, but on a national level, he wasn't good.
It's just not just because you were a great athlete, a great player, doesn't mean you're going to transition well to the
booth. And just because you have a personality doesn't mean you're going to project that on the air.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's not easy to do.
Oscar Madison couldn't do it. Howard Cosell and the Odd Couple, right? Felix had to step in, and, you know, yeah.
There you go.
All right, before we go to break, I have to ask Dave.
Ask me.
And because, remember, it says more time for Dave.
Oh. More time for Dave.
My agent, Tuttle.
So, where do you think Aaron Rodgers is or was during the missing of the minicamp? Was he at Rob's house? Was he at Bob's house?
Was he at my house? You're asking question, but you're looking at Rob.
I'm asking you the question, Dave, but I wanted to go over. I want to make sure everybody understood.
My answer is I don't really give a crap very well. I mean, who cares? This stuff is so stupid. Why are we even? I mean, come on.
He was actually hanging out at GCH with me.
Yes.
Training to become my partner on Greenwich football this fall.
He was in New Canaan at the new restaurant that owned by Richard Gere. I don't know where he was.
Is there a new restaurant?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that a potential new sponsor? Is that a transition?
Went there the night for Father's Night. Yeah, it was good.
I like that. Yeah. New transition. Very smooth.
By the way, my wife saw Boomer Esiason walking through town today with his son Gunner. She's.
Was he looking for a job or?
No, I don't think so. You want him on the clubhouse? Bing, bing.
All right. On that note,
you want a break?
We should probably take a break, and then coming up, Mr. Rob LaBritz.
Absolutely,
our favorite.
He is waiting. So we'll do that right after this on the clubhouse on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Anywhere.
Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer. That's what the tobacco industry said about us. But what does it say about them? That they'll do anything to recruit new smokers. Like using menthol flavors to make products smoother and better tasting so they're easier to start and harder to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for big tobacco to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
The Beatles. No band has had a greater impact on music and pop culture. Hi, this is Rob Adams. Please join me Sunday mornings at 9 as we meet the Beatles. The music of John, Paul, George, and Ringo will be examined as a band and as solo artists. We'll also review their influences and the impact they had on the world. So join me for Meet the Beatles with Rob Adams, Sunday mornings at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. Back with you on the clubhouse at 7:31 in Mount Kisco, Hotel MTK inside the hub. Things are buzzing. Max is waiting patiently. What's coming up next on this clubhouse show? We've got it all set. Mark, to you.
Well, I got to tell you, Max, you're going to be very excited for this next guest. It is with great pleasure to introduce our good friend, Mr. Rob LaBritz, a full-time touring golf professional on the PGA Tour Champions, a spokesman for his sponsors, performance coach, and a keynote speaker. Welcome back to the clubhouse. Game on, Rob.
Woo-hoo. Hey, what's up?
Welcome, gentlemen. How are we doing?
What's going on, man?
Living the dream up here in Endicott. Good to be back here in New York, I got to tell you.
All right, before we go there, I want to know, how's the family? You know, everybody seems to be getting older, but not you, Rob. So, but how are they?
Family's doing great. Thanks for asking. They're adapting to the life down south now. And, everything's going well as planned. So we're excited for the move. But nice to be back up here. And we brought some weather with us.
Yeah, apparently it's a little warm on Endicott as well. So you're up there in Endicott for the Dick's Sporting Goods Open. How was today's Pro-Am?
Oh, it was great. It was real hot. We drank a ton of water, but it was awesome. We had a full field out there, and balls were flying all over that place. If you've ever played N. Joey, it's kind of back and forth. So there's if you get some errant shots, there can be some golf balls flying across your head.
I thought you were talking about perhaps how Rob and I and Dave play golf, but that's a
yeah. Shh. Let's not talk about that.
When he says there's flying balls around, I got a little nervous.
Might have been us, Rob. I don't know.
All right, so let's
talk. I didn't see you guys out there today.
Let's talk about this season so far. Earlier this year, you injured your back, but you came back from that. So tell our audience, give us some insight on how the injury and how you were able to come back off of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, I woke up, one morning in January and really couldn't move. My L4, L5 was herniated, and it was kind of scary because, you know, you go from, you know, making your life now a sport that trying to play full time and all of a sudden injury happens and you're like, oh my goodness, what do I do next? So anyway, my wife is a chiropractor. She trained as a chiropractor. Oh. She doesn't really practice anymore, but she's, she said she got an MRI right away for me. Next thing you know, cortisone shot. Went through a tournament or two, and I was on this drug that wasn't doing too well, trying to take some of the pain away. And then I ended up getting a spinal epidural a week after that, and that really helped. I took a couple weeks off, just kind of laid there, lost a little muscle, and kind of had to work my way back from that. But you sit around for 2 or 3 weeks and you can't really do anything except to lay on a couch. You lose a lot of muscle, you lose a lot of confidence, you lose a lot of things. So it's, kind of clawing my way back from that, which was kind of an eye-opening experience to tour life out here. But the back is feeling awesome right now, and we're working a lot of the rust off. And we're up here in Endicott. And our golf course is in awesome shape, and back in New York, and we're gonna shoot some low numbers this week.
All right. So 2 weeks ago. On your birthday, which, by the way, guys, I wished Rob a birthday. It was a little late, but I did wish him a happy birthday. But you were at the Principal Charity Classic, and you worked on your putting a little bit. Well, I guess you had a lesson or so, and you had a great round. So tell us, so that comeback, now in your mind, you're back in that kind of form then, right? Is that how you're thinking?
Yeah, I mean, when you shoot a good round and you go bogey-free, 6 or 7 under, whatever I shot that day, was it's always nice. It was like... God giving me a little happy birthday gift right there on my birthday, which is nice. I wish every day was my birthday. It would be kind of fun. She's 65 all the time. But, I did have a putting lesson, and, it kind of exposed a few things that I was doing wrong. And, when you get out here and you're on the road, like I am constantly for 3-4 weeks at a time, I mean, I do as much maintenance on my golf swing and my short game as I can. But, there's times where it just gets a little bit off, as you're going through the heat of the battle. And you always have to have eyes on it. I don't have coaches traveling with me, so I send a lot of videos back to my coaches and stuff like that, and we try to keep things straight. But for the most part, I'm out here kind of grinding it out. So trying to figure it out while I'm out here is part of the process. It's part of becoming a full time touring professional. And sometimes you ride the lows and you try to just claw your way up to get back to where you can ride some highs again. You just got to stay patient and know that you're working on the right things, and you got to get in the gym every morning, and you got to be motivated, and you got to practice your short game, and you got to think positively and stay positive, and it's a total mindset. So, things will eventually turn around. It's like everything.
Hey, Rob, Dave Tiromio here. Good to speak to you again. I'm glad you mentioned that couch thing. That really resonates with Mark. You know, because
thank you.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good, man. I spent a lot of quality time on the couch, Rob. You know that. So.
You know, it doesn't apply to me. Just
hey, we
to,
all have.
But in all honesty, it's great to hear your voice again. And my question is really about your thoughts on the U.S. Open, DeChambeau, and more specifically Rory and that late collapse, if you want to call it that, and his decision to take some time off.
Nah, I mean, late collapse, whatever, you can't call it a collapse. I mean, you know, if you switch it around and you say, you know, if he bogeys the first three holes of the tournament and makes, you know, three birdies, you know, at the end, it's the same thing as if he made three birdies in the beginning and bogeys three at the end. Yep. I mean, it stings a little bit more, obviously, when it's toward the end. But, if you know, listen, the guy's a great player. He's going to get his majors. He was so close. When you're that close, it's right there. So you just keep going. To take time off, sure. I mean, it's, you know, that's... It's a stinger. I mean, when you get yourself in position to win a major, I mean, and you're right there, it's a stinger. So he's just gathering himself and, you know, and doing what any human would do to come out and get his best performance and his best, you know, mental performance when he comes back, I'm sure. You know, he's got to be going through the ringer right now. It's got to be hard. You
know? Sure. Rob,
appreciating. You know,
Rob, it's Rob Adams. Always good to talk with you. And you know, to piggyback on what Dave said, how are you – I know you've got so many things going on. How are you able to pay attention to, you know, a major or something that you're not playing in? Because you're out playing. You're out doing your own thing every day. So how are you able to find the time and then break that down like what Bryson did at the end there, punching out, being able to get that great bunker shot? How do you find that time to break that all down?
What do you mean, break it all down? What do you mean, Rob?
Even to be able to watch it, Rob, because, again, you're always I know you're so busy, so can you be able to relax and say, okay, I'm going to watch the U.S. Open? You know, are you able to do that?
Oh, yeah, no. You know, I was so busy as a director of golf. I was way more busy as a director of golf than I am as a touring professional. I mean, you can only spend so much time in the gym and only spend so much time practicing the game, and that's it. The rest of the time is idle time. I mean, you know, you have your other things that you're going to do. You're going to eat well. You visualize and do all your things. And that might be another whole half hour of the day, right? But, you know, we have a lot of time out here. So, you know, finding those things to do with that time to be constructive, you know, for your game and for your body, but also to take a break from it.
Sure.
Has been challenging for me, to be honest with you, out here. Because, you know, you're out on the road. You're out on the road alone. There's so many cities you can only roam around and look around, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's finding the balance of practicing versus, you know, versus working out versus your idle time versus your, you know, so the idle time, it, you know, there's a lot of it out here. There's a lot of idle time. You have to be constructive with it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. So here's the question. Every week, Rob, it's going back to the Champions Tour for a second. You're playing with the legends of golf. You know, are you getting used to it? Are there any fun stories of all these, the guys that we grew up watching play? It must be awesome to just play every week with them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't really look at it right now as playing with them. I look at it as I've got a job to do, which is to shoot under par. And as of lately, I haven't been, you know, getting the most out of my rounds. So, you know, regardless of if the legends, like, are playing out there, they're just pushing me to be better. You know, if I play a poor round, you know, against the best players in the world or a great round against the best players in the world, I'm always going to be learning, you know, learning something. And there, no one out here, everybody's always playing good. Someone's always going to be playing good. So no one's ever going to be playing bad. Like, you're never going to get a whole field to play bad, right? Someone's always going to play good, so... You just have to keep grinding, and you have to keep, you know, trying to shoot lower and shave strokes off your score. You got to learn how to pick different grasses. You got to learn how to use your wedges. You got to learn different shots. You got to learn how to score. And then you got to learn how to, you know, manage your mental game around the golf course and be positive and understand when you're learning and not to be frustrated. And, you know, these are all the things that me as a third-year touring professional, I'm still going through and still learning. I've gone through emotions in the past 2 years that I've never felt before in my life as a director of golf. Not even close, you know. I'm a lot more calm as a director of golf than I am as a touring professional sometimes, and I have to reel myself in a lot. So it's been a fun process to learn about myself out here, that's for sure.
So how are the Champion Tour fans? Are they still great? Are they? I mean, I've watched, you know, on Golf Channel, and they seem to be really into it. So tell us about the fans.
There are a lot of fans still out here. I'd love to see the tour promoted more. The tour's there's a lot of legends out here that have a lot of they've done everything, man. They're amazing players. I'd love to see more coverage, more TV cameras and stuff. I think they deserve it. But I know the world wants to watch the PGA Tour too. But I got to tell you, watching the legends, you're gonna learn a ton of stuff because it's amazing to watch these guys, still grind every day and just compete against each other. It's what it's all about.
Well, I got to tell you, the boys here are asking me because we all don't golf that well. Bob Small does golf well. He apparently tells me he's very good on the mini golf course. But talk about a little bit about to our audience, a little bit about the your product line. So we have the Rob Liberitz Minute, the video series, and the performance clinics. But I've looked at the videos. I mean, you have on your site, you have videos of how to improve everything. And so, I watch. Of course, I can't learn very well, but short game. Give us some tips and also tell our audience, about these series, the video series.
Well, I mean, the video series, they pop out every once in a while when I get motivated to put that stuff out. Right. Tips around the greens, learn to use your wedge, learn to use the bounce on your wedge. And if you don't even know what I'm talking about, learn what that is. If you can learn what the bounce is on a wedge and have somebody teach you, it'll be interesting, and you will fall in love with the game because, I play in these pro-ams every week, right? And I see players hit the ball fine, and they hit the ball from tee to tee fine. But then they get around the greens, and, sometimes they can get the ball airborne. And it's got to be really frustrating to hit two shots up on a par four and make a 7 or 8 every time. Mm. That's got to be frustrating. So
it is, Rob. It is.
I would love for people to learn how to use a wedge. You have to use so much less force in a wedge than you think. Let's start with that. You don't really have to use a lot of force. The wedge kind of just sits in your hands and your body just kind of pulls it back and through. You don't need a lot of acceleration with a wedge, especially when the ball's sitting up pretty good if you're just trying to hit a normal wedge shot. So it's a very easy club to use. It's kind of like a putter, but if you can learn in the very beginning, you're going to have a fun time with the rest of your career with learning golf.
All right, Mr. Liberitz, we're going to wrap it up. I can't wait to watch you at the Dick's Sporting Goods Open in Endicott. Looking forward to, either watching you on TV or you never know. I'm going to see my sister, Nonianta, and come down and visit you. But, Rob, best to your family. Best of luck this weekend. We're rooting for you here at the clubhouse, and thanks again for joining us.
I miss you guys, man. Good luck to every one of you guys, too. We'll hopefully see you soon, and we'll cross paths soon.
Thanks. Hey, Rob, one more thing before I let you go. Where can our audience learn more about Rob Liberitz? How about that? Rob Liberitz Golf.
Yeah, you can go to my website. Go to robliberitz.com. You can go to pga4.com and check out Rob Liberitz. You can go to Instagram, Rob Liberitz Golf. Twitter, Rob Liberitz Golf, and then LinkedIn, Rob Liberitz, and you can learn all about me. And if you need any sort of advice or things, try to reach out to me. It might take some time to get back to you, but I always get back to people with answers. So,
that's great.
I look forward to hearing from everybody.
Thanks, Rob. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, Rob. Stay well.
Good to see you guys. Back to you guys.
Basically, search Rob Liberitz and you'll be good.
Yeah, you will be good. And he's playing in with a heck of a lot of great players in this tournament. I was just looking at the tournament field. Yeah. Pretty great. So
good guy.
7:46. Well, I mean, we love Rob. He's right in the very foundation of this show. 7:46. We'll take a break. Clubhouse report coming up. Band very excited to play after this. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
Big Tobacco's customers are dying. But instead of pulling their products off shelves, they're using menthol flavors to recruit a new generation of smokers. Menthol makes products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier for us to start and harder for us to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for tobacco companies to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
This is the place for Boston Red Sox baseball. Day games, night games, home games, away games, we have it all. So if you're looking for a way to listen to live Boston Red Sox baseball, you have found it right here on AM 1490 WGCH. So come on back. There's probably a game tonight or maybe this afternoon. Check the Red Sox schedule online and enjoy a live Red Sox baseball game right here on 1490 WGCH.
There is a game right now, but I'm not going to say what the score is because I'm going to turn it over to the band, and then the band will introduce the man. Band, go.
Band, man.
Oh, no, wait a minute now.
No band. There we go.
The Clubhouse Report with your host, Mark Jeffers.
You know, it never gets old.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't.
That's quality.
Thanks, Rob, and welcome to the Clubhouse Report. All right, let's start off with some Sandlot action. The New York Mets are on a tear, winning their seventh straight game last night with a thrilling comeback win, 7-6 against the Texas Rangers. The two battle again tonight in Texas with an 8:05 start. Well, we talked about this earlier a little bit, but what do you think, David?
Well, thank you for not bringing up Grimace. I appreciate
it. I was going to let you have that. I was waiting for you. It was in my notes.
It's like only the. It's like my teams are only, even when they win, they're ridiculous. So, okay, you know this team is not going anywhere, in my opinion. I mean, seven in a row. This is the ebb and flow of a baseball season, right? It's just you know you win, you lose. I mean, at the end of the day, I think 500 is where they'll settle. They're not better than the Phillies. They're not better than the Braves. They're not better than the Dodgers. You're going to ask me something else, aren't you?
No. We have a long report to go.
Because I thought you were going to ask if they should be sellers or buyers, and I would be a seller. I would be a seller for the right prices.
Well, I was going to ask you that, but now that you've...
Well, I asked you.
Would you trade for Willie Mays right now?
All right.
The New York Nameth. We're good.
The New York Yankees, which Rob and I need to talk about, defeated their divisional rival, the Baltimore Orioles, last night 4-2. Most importantly, and we'll have to get an update on this, I guess, Aaron Judge's x-rays and CT scans came back negative from being hit by a pitch on his left pinky finger. The two play again this evening, and Rob may give us an update at the stadium with a 7:05 first pitch. Are you concerned about Judge?
I mean, you have to be a little bit concerned. He's not in the lineup tonight. Center field is Trent Grisham tonight. It's 1-1 top of the third at the stadium. Gleyber Torres with an RBI for the Yankees. Both teams scoring in the first inning. But, yeah, you have to be a little bit concerned.
He was in pain. I watched the game last night because, you know, Sarah is a huge fan. And so and he was in pain.
I think
it's the only thing that could really sideline the Yankees is a major injury. I think he's going to be fine, but I think the Yankees have shown to be a real juggernaut this season.
And remember, Garrett Cole is pitching tonight.
Yeah, Cole, yeah.
He's allowed two hits, one earned run through two innings of work. So.
Okay, well. That's
yep.
He'll probably, what do you think, Rob? He'll get, 80 pitches?
I would think 80, 85. Yeah. That's what I thought they were ramping him up to. So, you know, you'll get a little bit of length out of him, but not what you want out of him just yet.
Agreed.
Yeah,
all right, quickly over on the court. In the NBA final, the Boston Celtics wrapped up their record 18th NBA title, defeating the Dallas Mavericks 4-1. Jaylen Brown was named the finals MVP. But do you think the question really is, yes, the Celtics were the best team.
Oh, by far.
However, is this a one-off or is this going to be the start of a dynasty?
This team is good. This team, I'm not saying dynasty, but this team is a – basically, the way I've seen it broken down, it's one of the all-time greats, actually.
Really?
In how well it played team basketball and was the best team all season and went on and won a championship. No, they've got a good thing.
I do like their coach. I think he's...
What a situation. When Ime Udoka gets run out of Boston as the head coach, in comes Joe Mazzulla. He only takes him to what, the conference finals last year and now to a championship this
year?
You got
to give Brad Stevens, the architect.
Brad Stevens is brilliant.
Really coming through, obviously, moving up from coming from Butler as the head coach and then moving up to the head job. You know, the Celtics, I mean, how were the ratings? Has anybody seen the ratings?
I haven't seen them yet.
I can't imagine they were great. No. I can't imagine they were great.
But speaking of ratings,
yes,
nice transition, by the way.
Thank
David.
You.
Very good.
In WNBA action, the second-place New York Liberty lost last night 99-93 to the Phoenix Mercury. The Liberty host Los Angeles this Thursday with a 7 o'clock tip-off. But you know what? The Caitlin Clark ratings
phenomenon
is happening in WNBA action. So there's been some really great ratings shown on WNBA. Yeah.
Sure.
In the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, the Edmonton Oilers are still alive, winning last night against the Florida Panthers in Game 5, 5-3, forcing Game 6 back in Edmonton on Friday with an 8 o'clock start. Rob, do you think is there an Edmonton chance here?
I think there is now. Once you let a team get through Game 5, now it's dangerous. Now, and Connor McDavid is playing with more confidence. I think Edmonton in total is playing with more confidence. Sergei Bobrovsky, they got in his head a little bit, especially in Game 4. I'm not saying Edmonton's coming back and winning this thing, but boy, it'd be a lot of fun if you get to, I believe it's Sunday night, and they're playing a Game 7.
I think there is going to be a Game 7. I think it's Monday it will be Game 7 because they're playing Friday. And with the travel, I mean, it's three times. I mean, there's a lot of travel.
You're going from
South Florida all the way to Northern Canada. So I think, you know, they let him back in, and I got to tell you, I think Edmonton might win this thing.
It'd be amazing. That's a heck of a story. Yeah. And ESPN needs this badly because
very badly. Yeah.
The NBA finals were terrible. Basketball playoffs were so-so at times.
Well, the Knicks having a good run helped.
But the Knicks getting bounced as early as they did.
I
think ESPN needs this hockey.
They really needed Rangers, and to be honest,
they really needed
the Rangers.
We all need the Rangers, but that's another story.
Not
you, David.
Speaking, yeah.
All right, here's something that Bob Small's been waiting to hear about.
In the
UFL championship.
Yes,
the Clubhouse Report covers all the action.
Yes, you do.
But you're going race
It was
there.
Birmingham shutting out San Antonio 25-0. Or nil, or nothing.
And nobody watched.
And that's the first I've heard of it.
And speaking of excitement, I had to get the transition again.
Go ahead.
In MLS action, it was a good week for the area teams. And the New York Red Bulls are in third place with 8-4-6 record. I just like to read the records.
Now that everybody's
And NYFC
asleep.
Is right behind them in fourth place with a 9-6-2 record. Both teams are away tonight. And on the women's side, in an NWSL, Gotham FC is 7-2-3 and holding down fourth place. We report all things here on the Clubhouse.
Can I get a breakdown of the Premier League?
Turning to some auto racing news.
Yeah, Le Mans, for instance.
On the NASCAR circuit, Ryan Blaney dominated the inaugural NASCAR Cup Series race at the Iowa Speedway for his first victory of the season and a spot in the playoffs. What do you think about Ryan Blaney?
There is playoffs.
There's a world.
That's playoffs.
There's a playoff in the
playoffs.
I don't know whether I would call it that. Race off, baby.
Okay. We'll call it a race off then. Yeah. All right, over on the links, and this is a very special read here before we fall asleep. Sunday's final round of the U.S. Open had a little bit of everything. The day's early leader stumbled, the challenger emerged, a gut wrenching collapse, and a bunker shot of the lump in the throat variety. On the final hole that would ultimately help deliver Bryson DeChambeau the win on Pinehurst number 2 while simultaneously continuing the major championship anguish of Rory McIlroy.
If Bryson DeChambeau really wanted to be a big-time champion, he would have done the full Payne Stewart when he won. A remarkable finish.
Rory collapsed.
Rory collapsed.
Okay. Yeah, we love Rob. We all do.
Rob is a hyper-positive, upbeat guy, and I appreciate that about him. He doesn't like to say a bad word about everyone, anyone.
Rory collapsed.
But, yeah, Rory, you can't miss the putts that he missed. And
that's why he's taking time off, because he basically is
Scott Hoke. He Greg Norman, let's be honest. John Vandeveld.
If there had been a windmill on Bill that Buckner. Part, I might have missed it. But otherwise,
He Bill Bucknered.
Yeah, he really did. But Bryson with the coming out of the bunker.
Yeah, that sand
one
chip
of the
was
great shots you'll ever see.
He was won a lot of fans. He's got a lot of fans. So I'm not unhappy for Bryson. I mean, I just, you know, it's
and we're getting closer to peace in the valley with the whole.
Yeah, but do we see? I dislike him a little bit. Glad he won a great year. And he was doing the fans cheering. But the live golf thing throws me into a little
it's
bit
still,
of a.
Still, yeah, you're hung up on the live.
I'm a little hung up on the live.
Yeah, I get it. I do.
Mark. And that will wrap it up for this week's
Live
Cup
and
House.
Let live, Mark. Live and let live.
Wow.
And, well, I'll look. And live and let live. And that will wrap it up for this week's Clubhouse Report. Rob, back to you.
A great reference a day after Paul McCartney's birthday.
Yeah,
love it.
Nice.
Very nice. 7:57. There's a show called Meet the Beatles on this radio station. But anyway.
Bach.
Let's promote. Let's promote. And speaking of promoting.
Let's promote. Promote away.
Promote.
Next Wednesday, 7 to 8 o'clock here on AM 1490 WGCH. We're going to have a special show for the Hudson Valley Alzheimer's Association.
Yes, we are.
We're going to have lots of fun, and hopefully everybody will tune in. Or come here to the hub.
Come visit. Come visit us.
Come visit.
At the Hotel FTK.
Yeah. There's going to be live music as well.
Live music.
Yes.
And there's rumor that Bob Small may sing.
No.
I'm just tossing it out to the fans. There's
the
a chance that Bob will.
I could be on the promo singing.
I like that. Well, that could happen.
I've seen the set list, and we know some of the songs, Bob. So maybe the whole team could be singing, and they're very happy to hear us.
It could get ugly. But, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun next Wednesday night, and all for a good cause. You do a remarkable job. Well, the producers with you do a remarkable job of setting up our nights when we give and donate and do right by the community and worthy charities. And Alzheimer's close to all of us. You know, the Alzheimer's folks of the Hudson Valley, we're very, very close to those folks.
Give and let give.
Yep. No, Esther will be here and talk a little bit about all the things that all the services that they provide and how we can help.
Very important.
And Steve Moyo and Michael Weinstein from the Blues Corruption will be singing with Bob Small.
the Blues
from 8 to 9. So when our show's done, we're going to sit back and enjoy some music.
Nice.
There you go. So we will see you next week for that. We thank Rob LeBritz for joining us on this edition. We thank Teddy for keeping us sane over here. And we look forward to all of you joining us next week. And join me on Doubleheader tomorrow, because why not? Why shouldn't you? It's a fine radio program.
It is indeed.
We will talk to you then. That'll do it for this edition of The Clubhouse. Once again, thanks to Rob LeBritz. Thanks to Sean Kilkelly back in the shop. And we will talk to you next Wednesday night.
Woo-hoo.
7 o'clock. For Dave Jeromeo, Bob Small, Mark Jeffers, I'm Rob Adams saying goodnight from the clubhouse right here in Mount Kisco at Hotel MTK inside the hub. We'll see you next week. Adios and good night from Mount Kisco, New York.
This is your community radio station serving Lower Fairfield County and